Thank you very much, Buzz Adams. And that's right, our River Oaks Properties Schoolyard Sports Studios. That's where we originate from today. Appreciate that song. That song has some significance today. It really does. Yep, that's true.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. Thank you. This is a big one. I'm not going to lie to you. This year is a big one. You know, every year is big, but I don't know. 50? 50 is a big one right now. Pretty happy about that. And it, you know what the crazy thing is? Like, I started at this radio station when I was 22. Wow. And now I am 50. And I'm thinking, man, that's more than half my life in this building. It's crazy to think about that.
Wow, man. That's
yes.
awesome. That's great to hear. Good. There's something to be said about you hanging around.
Well, now I can actually start playing in the 50 and over men's baseball league in El Paso, which has been my dream for years. The only problem is you got to find a team that needs a left-handed hitting first baseman with not much range after all these years. So that's the only problem. Most of these teams all have lefty first baseman, or not, they already have first baseman ready to go. So I gotta try to get myself on a 50 and over team so I can start playing ball. I've been waiting for that one. Biding my time, let's just put it that way, waiting for that to happen.
But that's something to be excited about when
yes.
you get the milestone year, to join the leagues, to be a part of this, to do it regularly and stuff like that. That's something to really look forward to when you turn 50.
I agree with you. I agree. And now I'm only, 5 years away from, getting the senior discount at movie theaters? You know, I still have, I think, 10 years to go for the Chihuahuas. I think their seniors eat free. You have to be like 60 and up. But, I'm on my way, man. I am on my way.
You should ask all our friends, hey, Dead Beach, do I get anything now that I'm 50 and over? Hey, Desert Oak Barbecue, can I get a little extra sauce or something now that I'm 50 and up? Or a discount, maybe something like that. It's time to find out what you're eligible for, Steve.
You know what you're eligible for?
Oh, no, don't tell me. I know where you're going with this.
No, there's a way with you. You want to know what you're eligible for at 50?
What?
Honestly, AARP.
Oh.
That's where it is. You get I've already gotten the letter from AARP telling me that I've qualified. I'm wait a minute. I can't retire. I'm in radio. Probably never be able to retire. Be like Marina, you know, who's still working. And she's got plenty of years on me. So she's in this building right now. So, yeah, there's not much... Not much right now that you've qualified for at 50, other than AARP, as far as I'm concerned. But, hey, listen, I feel good. That's the most important thing.
You look great.
Appreciate that. And ready to go today. We have 2 hours. 2 hours on the show. It's a fast show today. And I understand we're going to get UTEP's newest signee on the program today. That is something I'm looking forward to. So, UTEP had a commitment over the weekend from a guard. Somebody that will be able to come in immediately and play was a Buffalo prior to UTEP, and a guy I'm excited about. So, by the way, I hate the idea that if you're a junior college, you don't get a COVID year. That's just wrong. As far as I'm concerned, any school should get COVID and get an extra year back. Why should you lose a year if you were playing JUCO, but you gain an extra year if you're D1? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Especially now that we know some of these guys have been around for 7 years, legitimately 7 years in college athletics. I know maybe they had a redshirt year one time and then a COVID year on top of that. It just seems kind of ridiculous to me that he didn't get an extra year. That's frustrating. Me too.
So I'm with you on that one. Anyway. Looking forward to everything about, today's show. Calls, guests, it's going to be fun. By the way, we have, Zeed's coming on the program, right?
That's
Zeed
exactly
Powell?
Right. Yes, that's right. He'll be joining us next segment.
Fantastic.
He's very flexible at this time. Very, appreciate him in a big way.
Jesse Munoz is going to join us in our 5 o'clock hour.
Man,
how about that?
I can't wait for that. America's has been on such a great run. Some of our local supporters here on this show have jumped on board with them, and they're supporting the America's team as they're heading off to the state playoffs, the regional quarterfinal round. I'm very happy for this America's team. They're loaded. Steve,
they
got some
loaded.
Great talent on their roster, especially their pitcher who's going to Baylor. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're right. They're loaded. I mean, exactly right. They have special talent on this team. You know? It's nice.
I agree. And, hey, they beat the defending state champions in South Lake Carroll last week. What a great story that was.
I think they beat them like 3 out of 4 times this year.
That's right, and they had to do it with adverse weather, I guess. I mean, one game ended up being canceled midway through, so they had to play two on Saturday, I believe, and then ended up closing it out and winning it. So very happy for that America squad.
What's your favorite story today so far? The fact that the Sixers fired Doc Rivers after losing, or the fact that Pat McAfee is coming to ESPN in the fall?
Oh, not even close. It's based on our recent encounter with Pat McAfee. I'm rooting for him big time. I'm always going to root for that guy from how nice he was to us. Pat McAfee getting paid. I just can't wait to see what this dollar amount ends up being, Steve.
I heard $10 million a year.
That's excellent.
It's pretty
good.
Really good. He gave up $120 million for FanDuel's deal to do this.
I mean, it's stability, right? He's not having to advocate for himself, going off and doing his own thing. Plus, FanDuel TV, a little volatile, I would say. You know, I don't know who's watching that, how long it's going to last. ESPN's been around for 43 years.
Is Pat going to be able to still curse on ESPN, or does it have to be clean?
I was thinking they could do some ESPN Plus, like podcasts or something like that, and just let him go every day. Let him go.
I say let him curse on ESPN. Yeah. Who cares, right?
Really, who cares? Come on.
Look, it's 2023. Look what we live in right now. That's right. As long as he's not on ESPN radio, he'll be fine. There you go. Hey, phones are ringing in. Let's get to it. Luis is first up this afternoon. Hey, Luis, how are you?
Doing great, Steve. I've met a couple of times. This is Luis Gallardo, Coach Gallardo, coach at Moody for a few years in El Paso.
Hey, Coach, what's going on?
Not much. I just heard about that you wanted to play, turn 50-0.
The big 5-0, baby. Been waiting on this.
That's
yes.
Right. Hey, we're playing in the 50 and over. Max Weber volunteered for the Samba Association, was the president of that league for many, many years. He left about 2 years ago, and he's still going strong.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
And I'm playing with the, even though I'm 65, but I'm playing for the El Paso Indios.
Are you really?
Yes, sir. We won the championship last year.
Good for you. And, that's fantastic. What position you play there, Luis?
I play center field and first baseman. I have to move out with you coming in.
Oh, my God. Are you a lefty or a righty?
Righty.
Okay, I'm a lefty. Listen, and that's the hardest part. I mean, number one, my arm is not what it used to be, so the outfield just doesn't work anymore for me. That's why I play first base. If you're a lefty, can't play the infield unless you're playing first. So that's my issue.
Well, I'm going to leave my information with you guys later on, and you're more than welcome. We're 9-0 right now.
9-0? Oh, man, I got to get on this team. This sounds like a fun team to play with. Do you have anybody that's 50, or would I be the baby on the team?
No. Well, they have – it's a 50 and over. You have 55 to pitch, and you're allowed to have a rover, which is you can play with 10 and put on DH for the pitcher. And you got to have 5 and 5 on the field, 550 and 5 viejitos.
Got it.
So otherwise you can't start. You can have as many 50 and over on the field, but you cannot have more than 5 on the field. So that's the way it works. And more than
as long as there's nobody under, as long as there's nobody under 50 on this team, I'll feel pretty good. Because I've always been told for years, when I was 49, they said, "Nope, doesn't work like that. You got to wait till you're 50."
No, you got to be 50.
All right, beautiful.
So I'm gonna leave my information there, so you can call me anytime, and we can get together and see what we can get there to play with us.
I look forward to that, Luis. That'd be a lot of fun. And your team is the El Paso Indios, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very nice.
Got another. Part of information, I hope I'm not taking so much time of your time, but I graduated from Bowie in 1978, and I played football, and I got a scholarship to go play at New Mexico Highlands University. And I got the big news last Friday. It's going to be released to the press, but I'm going to be inducted in the New Mexico Highlands Athletic Hall of Fame.
Attaboy!
In the weekend of... September the 28th, will be a banquet and then a presentation and parade and all that stuff. I'll send that information to you.
Luis, congratulations. What position do you play over there at Highlands?
Nose guard and linebacker.
Yes, that's what I want to hear. All right, good to see that they're recognizing you all these years later. That's great news. Great stuff.
We won the conference in 1988. And I was the captain for 3 years and Mayo Conference 2 years in a row.
Awesome. Awesome.
Still have a record in my senior year of 125 tackles.
My goodness. You're a machine, Luis.
Out of El Paso Bowie High School.
That's what it's all
so
about.
So I want to thank everyone that was involved in that journey from El Paso, coaches and teachers and brothers and family and everybody, because you can't do it by yourself. It's humbling, and it's just a wonderful thing.
Man, you turned this phone call into an acceptance speech for a Hall of Fame award. I like that, Luis. Good for you, man. Congratulations on that. You deserve it. I'm looking forward to it. I'll put you on hold, and I'll get in touch with you here soon enough, all right?
Thank you, Steve. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your day, buddy.
Thanks for the invite, Luis. You too. Congratulations on the hall. That's awesome stuff. All right. There's Luis. Gives me a nice invitation to go play first base for his baseball team and then tells me he got into the Hall of Fame at New Mexico Highlands. What a call that was to start us off today. 13 past. Here's Orly joining us next. Orlando, what's going on?
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
The big one, I turned Saturday 65.
Oh my goodness, that's good. You and Luis are the same age.
Luis, 65. You think you're getting messaging now for AARP? Wait till you get around 64. You're going to get at least 10 calls a day on Medicare.
So can't
I'm
wait.
On Medicare A and B with supplement with United Healthcare and AARP, all that stuff. And then you're really going to get good on your property because you get to file the over 65 exemption.
All I can tell you is I've got a few years till I hit 64, 65. So let's, one big birthday at a time, all right? One big birthday at a time.
You know what? You think it's not that far away, guys. Trust me. Before you know it'll be, but have a nice birthday. Congratulations to Luis. That's a great honor for him. It's an El Paso and good for him.
All right.
But enjoy your birthday. Enjoy it. Enjoy 50. Now you're not quite close to the 55 to get your free stuff yet.
Yeah, not there yet. Well, hey, I can start playing in the over 50 baseball league in El Paso. I'm happy. That's what I'm ready for.
I got in the national bowling tournament. I can bowl at 50. I'm the senior. I was a senior at 55.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
I'm heading out for Reno on Thursday.
Nice. Anyway, all right. Enjoy Reno and give us a full report.
I will. You take care. Have a good birthday today, my friend.
Thanks, man. Talk to you. Appreciate you. All right. That's Orly checking in. Very nice. Good start to the show. I like this.
I love Luis's call. That was the highlight.
That was great, man. It was awesome. He went from talking about his 9-0 baseball team, the defending champs, to offering me an invite. He said he would go to center field for me, and then he told me he went to the New Mexico Highlands Hall of Fame and started thanking people. It was amazing.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, he had his opportunity. We gave him a spotlight here.
That was beautiful. Good for Luis. I'm excited for Luis. I'm jacked up. All right, hey, get ready. Well, we're going to meet one of the newest UTEP Miners coming up as we continue here on Sports Talk. 15 past with you on the 16th day of May, 2023. Here's Charlie One with traffic. Back here on Sports Talk, 20 past the hour. I'm excited about this next interview, Adrian. I really am. This is the newest Miner, and I have a feeling somebody that a lot of Miner fans are going to be very excited about when he arrives here in town.
That's exactly right, Steve. It's Buffalo transfer Zid Powell, who is absolutely UTEP's best offseason acquisition thus far. It's great to have him here with us to start the show.
I agree with you. Zid, welcome to the program. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Appreciate you.
Hey, appreciate you giving us a little time. And first off, congratulations on being a Miner. What's it been like? Everybody reaching out to you on social media since you made the decision?
Yes, my phone been blowing up. Like, everybody been calling me, asking me questions, why, getting interviews and all that. It's definitely been a busy couple of days.
All right, let's talk about this for a second, Zid. Take me back to really what this whole process has been like ever since you went into the portal, decided you were going to explore other options, and then all the different teams that were interested in you.
Once I entered my name in the portal, like, yeah, my phone was blowing up. Like, it was a lot of schools reaching out to me, like TCU, SMU, Arkansas, Arizona, Temple. It was a lot of like a lot of schools. George Mason, Rhode Island, Oregon State, San Diego, LaSalle, like University of Vermont, and a lot more. So it was like, to be honest, I really don't like this process of like this like recruiting process because it's like it's kind of hard. Like it's like a hard decision.
It's a very hard decision. Matter of fact, it's probably one of the most important decisions you have to make up until now, so I totally get that. But UTEP came into the mix with everybody else, and let's talk about your trip to El Paso, getting a chance to see the facilities, meeting Coach Golding, and what really your recruiting trip here was like.
Coach Golding, that's my guy. Like he showed me love. And, of course, everybody know about Coach Spriggs. That's who I started on. My college career with at Beaver County. So me and him actually got a close relationship. And like when I arrived from the start, like it felt like home. Like Coach Golden and his staff, they all welcomed me. And then it just felt like a family. One big family. And like it just felt right. And what he was saying to me, I believe in his process. And I'm pretty sure he believed in me. And we just went from there. And it's a nice city. It's hot. It's very hot. So, you know, I don't like the cold. So, yeah.
Oh, if you don't like the cold, you're going to love El Paso, Zid. My goodness. You might as well just move here now and just start enjoying those 85-degree days as it gets hotter and hotter.
Yeah, I'll be out there real soon, like next month, to start summer workouts.
Good. You grew up in the East Coast, right? Tell me a little bit about, were you from the New York area as a kid?
No, I'm from Philly.
Okay, so you grew up in Philly. Tell me a little bit about, you know, when you first started playing ball and when you realized you had a chance to really become something pretty special as far as basketball goes.
I always played basketball when I was younger at, like, the parks. But I didn't start taking it serious until my 10th grade, my first year on varsity. Yeah, I didn't start taking the series until then. And once when I found out I was really good, when like I started dunking on everybody. So yeah. It was like, and then when that happened, I'm just like, I probably got a shot at this. And then it went from there. I started playing AAU and starting to get a little notoriety in my city. And then that's how everything started for me.
How old were you when you first dunked a basketball?
My first dunk was 9th grade summer. Ninth grade summer.
See, you know what's interesting, Zid? I'm going to tell you something, all right? People don't forget those things. Like, if you ask a basketball player, when was the first time you dunked a ball? They're not going to say, I don't remember. They probably know exactly when that first time happened, because when it happens for the very first time and you dunk one, that's like something that'll be, you know, in your memory forever.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's like the first time, my first dunk was actually an alley-oop.
Even better. Zid, when it comes to Philadelphia basketball players, there's a long list of great players to come out of the city, even recently. I mean, you look at the Atlanta Hawks and DeAndre Hunter. You look a couple years back, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and even guys like Derek Jones, you know, who played for the Bulls and graduated from UNLV. What does it mean to represent your city and playing in that kind of competitive environment of Philadelphia and growing up in that environment?
It's definitely competitive out here in the city, because everybody that come out the city want to be the best. So if you want to be the best, like, you just got to go at everybody. And but all them guys you name, they very good. They very good players. And it's been tough, because it was like, it's a lot of politics in the city. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of hard, but I fought through it, and now we here.
You're right, and now you're on your way to UTEP, which, again, is pretty exciting. I saw in your bio, this is really interesting, that you know, you played a year at Beaver County Community College. You mentioned Coach Spriggs, but I want to hear the story about Kobe, your idol, and the day after he passed, you honored him by scoring 81 points in a game. Is that true?
Yeah.
And
yeah, so
yeah,
Coach Briggs wanted to do something for Kobe. So we all like he one day before we shoot around, we came in and he had paper and pencil. So when he had a piece of papers and pencils, so we come in, he give everybody a sheet and a pen, and he told everybody, he said, "Listen, we're gonna vote for who somebody on the team to score 81 points tonight." So we all voted, and me and my friend, one of my close friends, his name Rasheed Brown, me and him, it was a tie, and Rasheed was like, "Coach, I can't score 81." And everybody know like Kobe was my favorite player, so they're like, "You gotta let Zed do it." Like, yeah, and shout out to my teammates for that too. So, and then it was a lot of pressure because I didn't want to start it and then not get it. So, but we got it done, and I had 75 at halftime.
That's incredible. And from what I understand, you got 75 at halftime?
Yes.
Come on. And I heard you finished with 81, but you airballed the free throw purposely as a tribute to Kobe.
Yes.
It's a great story. By the way, you mentioned Rasheed Brown. He's over at North Texas, or was in North Texas, had a chance to play there. So has he told you a little bit about Conference USA and what to expect?
Yeah. He told me it's a tough conference. Like it's not like you can't be soft. You can't be soft in this conference to win. So he was telling me about it. Like we talk every day. So he just let me know everything, what I need to do to be successful in the conference.
Zid, you come out of the junior college ranks, which puts you in a category with a lot of players who are making their a name for themselves at a junior college, but it's not easy. What was it like climbing out of the junior college ranks, coming onto the scene initially for Buffalo this past year and making that transition?
Coming out of junior college, junior college is a grind. So as I was coming up, I was, like, kind of being down because I wasn't getting no offers. Schools wasn't looking at me until I got to the J48. That's when I actually started blowing up in the junior college scene. And, yeah, it was kind of hard. But, you know, Buffalo gave me a shot. I went to Buffalo, and they believed in me, too. So shout out to Coach Jim Weissel. Yeah, because he trusted me, too. And I think I made the best of the situation.
As far as the transition for you at Buffalo, you scored, 24 right out of the gate against Colgate. So, to me, when you had that first game and had that really big game, you probably had more confidence going into it than anything else, right?
Yes. Yes, I did. And plus, like, my family came out to see me. So, when I got them around, I always felt comfortable. So, like, and plus, I had to like do something, and I wanted to win. So, like, I'm gonna do everything to get the win.
I love that. I mean, so for you, you've got that hunger and that edge, don't you? When you talk about just the way you play on the court.
Yes, it's like because you can't be soft. Because once somebody sees you that you're soft, or they feel like they can take advantage of you. And me personally, I don't like losing. I'm a competitor. And like I said, I'm going to do what I need to do for the team to get the win. Yeah, I would sacrifice.
Zid, can you clarify something for us? We were curious. With your role here at UTEP, are you thinking you might be the point guard for UTEP and be more of a ball handler, something that you did at the community college junior college level, excuse me?
Yeah, for sure. Yes, that's what me and Coach Golden was talking about, and Coach Briggs. Me definitely playing the one.
All right. Well, there's part of your answer. And do you feel as comfortable at the one as you do at the two?
Yes. Yes, for sure I do. Like, cause I already played it, so it was like, I can do it. I already seen I can do it, so it's no pressure.
All right. More with Zid Powell as we continue here on Sports Talk. But first, it is the bottom of the hour. Let's get right back to Adrian standing by with this Sports Center update. And thank you very much. Zid Powell joining us right now. He's the newest UTEP minor. It comes from Buffalo via the transfer portal. a 6'4 junior guard. Now, the website says you weigh about a buck 95. Is that pretty accurate, Zid? Is that about right playing weight for you?
Yeah, 193.
All right. Yeah.
Run every.
Okay, good. Hey, by the way, UTEP has had over the years some terrific basketball players from the Philadelphia area, especially Stephon Jackson and Omar Thomas, who 20 years ago was taking the minors to the NCAA tournament. Did you know either of those two or about either of them growing up in Philadelphia with their connections to the school?
Yes, I know Omar. I know Omar. He actually gave me some tips about UTEP, and me and him actually talked when I was down there. So he was telling me about the city, about like how everything went out and what I need to do. Yeah, he's definitely somebody I'm going to be calling when I need to like talk about some situations, because he already familiar with everything down there. Yeah, he's a good person.
Let me tell you something about Omar Thomas, all right? Zid, Omar's a legend because he came here and in two seasons helped take the minors to back-to-back NCAA tournaments along with the Philly Rivera. They were terrific at that point. And OT, probably the best undersized pure scorer I've ever seen. He's about 6'5", but he played like he was a 6'8 power forward. It was unbelievable. So the fact that you're sponging off of Omar about UTEP and about El Paso, that's really good to hear.
Yeah, me and him, yeah, but he definitely was a great player.
Zid, what have you seen so far from this current basketball team on the UTEP side of things, the roster, the way it's built, and some of the teammates you'll be joining this year?
To be honest, I really didn't get into that. I actually seen we got a junior college transfer coming in, and we got a another transfer. So I really didn't really get into the team stuff yet.
I like that about you. That tells me that you're not worried about anything other than just yourself, how you fit in with this team, and wanting to win basketball games. That's the bottom line when it comes to everything.
Yes.
That's good. Because, to be honest, Zid, nowadays it seems like, and you give me your thoughts on this, I'm kind of interested to hear your opinion on this, okay? That with the transfer portal the way it is, sometimes, as soon as there's a little adversity and a little competition, players that look to just jump right in the portal and go elsewhere rather than stick it out, compete, and just get a chance to earn a bigger opportunity. Give me your thoughts on that in general, with the way the portal is and how, you know, a lot of players, you know, when it gets tough, they don't want to try to fight and compete for a spot.
Yeah, I think people should just, like, be honest, I really don't know, like, because speaking for myself, like, I always like a challenge, and plus, like, I'm going to, like, always compete. Like, no matter where I'm at, I'm always going to compete. So, me hopping into the transfer portal, it wasn't like for no, like, oh, it's getting tough here at Buffalo. Oh, I want something bigger. It was because, you know, unfortunately, my Buffalo let go of my coach, and I just wanted to leave. But I think players should just, like, make sure they go to the right spot, because so you won't even have to jump in the transfer portal. Make sure you go somewhere that you know, like, I'm going to do good here. And don't go nowhere because it's high. It's high major and all that. Go somewhere where you want it, not and need it. Want it and not and need it, yeah. So that's how I look at it.
I think the reason I brought it up, though, was not that your situation in Buffalo. I'm just talking with the fact that when you got here, you don't really worry about the rest of the roster and who's playing at the guard spot and all these other guys. You're just looking at right now at your relationship, your fit, how you're going to fit in with this team, and how you're going to try to make them win. That's the most important thing, not what the rest of the roster looks like.
Right. Yeah, that is. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Yeah, I'm not really worrying about nobody else. I'm just worrying about getting better myself and work on what I need to do to help the team win.
All right, let's talk about your game in general right now, because I love to give minor basketball fans a preview of what's to come. So I know this past season you averaged 13 a game, shot 42% from the field, 79% from the line. You didn't take a ton of threes. You tell me, what is your biggest strength in terms of your offensive game, and where do you feel you still need the most work?
my biggest strength as far as my offensive game is me getting downhill and getting to the rim. Right now, what I'm working on the most, like my, is my, I'm trying to have a consistent jump shot. Like, I can shoot. I just want to make it more consistent and get the numbers higher.
What's your range right now? Where do you feel most comfortable shooting as far as your perimeter game?
Everywhere, to be honest. I'm going to take this shot if it's open.
All right, that's fair. I mean, I'll tell you this. I was figuring you were going to tell me 15 and in, 20 and in, whatever it is, but you feel like, you know what, if you've got a good look, you're taking it. I love the fact, though, that you almost have that fearless approach trying to attack the rim.
Yes, for sure.
What about defensively, Zid?
Oh, defensively, you're going to get a dog on defense. I'm going to be a dog. I'm going to be a pest. I'm going to make sure, like, everything in place. I'm going to play in the passing lane. I'm going to have a lot of steals. Yeah, like, that's what I do. I love defense, actually.
Who would you say you model your game after? I know that might be a loaded question, but if you had to give your NBA comparison or a couple of different players that you like to model your game after, who would you say you do so?
My favorite player, who I think I model my game after, is Zach LaVine.
Did you always grow up a Zach LaVine fan ever since he broke into the NBA?
I started being a Zach LaVine fan when he got traded to the Bulls.
Mm, okay. By the way, that's another question. Growing up in Philadelphia, as a kid, and still to this day, you a diehard Sixers fan?
No, see, I told you I'm a Kobe fan, so I'm a Lakers fan.
Ah.
But I do like when the Sixers don't play the Lakers, I always go with the Sixers.
Well, the point is, your team is still alive right now in the playoffs.
Yes.
All right, that's a big deal. By the way, I do feel bad for you and all those Philadelphia fans having to see their playoffs slip away to Boston the way it did. And as you probably already heard earlier today, Doc Rivers is fired as head coach of the Sixers.
Yes, I did see that.
All right.
But it's business.
That's exactly. It is business. I couldn't agree with you more. Are the Lakers going to get by Denver in the Western Conference Finals?
Yes, Lakers in six.
That was easy. Boy, okay. The Lakers going to win the whole thing?
Yes.
Okay. You know what? Zid doesn't even have to give me a reason why. He's just telling me it's a done deal.
I like
Lakers,
it. Yes.
Lakers in six over Denver, and the Lakers are going to roll and win the whole thing. That's good.
Yes, all right. Sure.
By the way, LeBron versus Michael and LeBron versus Kobe. Give me your thoughts on those comparisons.
I would never go against Kobe. Kobe is the best player to ever play the game in my eyes. So I think he's better than Michael Jordan, and I think he's better than LeBron James.
What made Kobe, in your mind, the best of all time?
I like his mentality. Like, it's like, and plus, everybody keeps saying he modeled his game after Michael Jordan. So I don't understand how when these debates come up with Kobe, well, LeBron and Michael, and Kobe's name is not in the mix. I don't understand that when him and Michael Jordan play the same to me.
Yeah.
So, like, how is he not in the mix with that? And he can do everything. Kobe can do everything.
But when it comes to that Mamba mentality, that killer instinct that I know Jordan had and Kobe had, that is something that you bring to the game as well on the mental side, huh?
Yes.
All right. Beautiful. Final question for me. And then, Adrian, if you've got anything left for Zid, go ahead. What should minor fans expect from you when you put on that uniform and take the court for the first time later this year?
Minor fans should expect a winner, a competitor, and somebody that's going to do anything to get the win. Like, I'm going to make sacrifices for my team. Anything coach need me to do, I'm going to do. Anything my teammates need me to do, I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure I play defense, offense, everything to get the win.
That's a great way for us to end this. Zid Powell, congratulations, man. Looking forward to seeing you in El Paso wearing that UTEP jersey for the first time. Thanks so much for joining us here on the show today.
No, I appreciate you guys, too. Thank you for having me.
You got it. We'll see you soon when you come into town, all right?
All right, thank you.
You got it. He's Zid Powell, folks. He joins us here on Sports Talk. 43 past. Come back with more in a moment. 600 ESPN El Paso. Back here on Sports Talk as we continue. Saw this floating around on Twitter. Listen to this. The entire Texas Tech baseball team will be receiving a five-figure NIL deal offered by the Matador Club, a nonprofit 501c3 organization focused on creating avenues for Texas Tech student-athletes to make a positive impact with their NIL. It's one of the first NIL deals to feature an entire D1 baseball team. And this is the type of NIL deal that has already been given to the Texas Tech football and softball team last year. Telling you, it's amazing what NIL is doing to the college sports world right now. Five figures per player.
Right, and now, I mean, the Big 12 is still a top Power 5 conference, but they're still, I mean, it's now not just the major sports of just men's basketball and football. They're now starting to see collectives in all these different sports, which is showing you that now this money, that where you can play in different sports across the country, you can get paid serious money for this kind of stuff.
Right, yeah, you really can, and that seems to be what's happening right now more than anything else. These guys are starting to make some bank, and good for them, right? In pocketing that, and you know, that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, and it's a smart thing from these you know, collectives or boosters or donor groups, whatever it might be, the alumni who band together and do this, because it's going to equal to winning. I have a firm belief of this. And you know, speaking of NIL, there's a great story today in The Athletic talking about how through NIL, Florida Atlantic was able to retain most of its players from their big run. I mean, we watched as Dusty May had all his players going throughout this entire NCAA tournament. He was able to retain a lot of those players through NIL.
Yeah, that's big. That's really big. No doubt. Meanwhile, as we get ready for the Western Conference Finals as well as the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA playoffs, and excited about that because tonight we've got Lakers-Nuggets Game 1. Can't wait. 6:30, that gets underway. It's going to be such a fun series. It really is. And then I believe tomorrow, Game 1 of the Heat-Celtics. But did you see the story today with head coach Steve Kerr saying that the Warriors never rebuilt trust after the Green Pool incident that happened before the season started?
Yeah, even if that's true, I don't like him saying that. I don't. I know he's very forthcoming. He's honest. Steve Kerr is really nice, and he's also good about when the season's over, he really turns the page to the next season and kind of really starts from the ground up. But I just don't like hearing that. The fact that even if it's true, and even that they never rebuilt the trust, you saw it, Steve. You saw the body language from Jordan Poole, how disappointed he looked all the time. And I think it all stem from that initial punch from Draymond Green. And remember, fights happen all the time in practices. It's the fact that this was leaked all over social media and Jordan Poole's whole family and friends got a chance to see that video.
Look, here is the intro. I don't know what to really make of Steve Kerr's comments, because here's what he said. Quote, look, if Draymond is not back, we're not a championship contender. We know that. He's that important to winning and to who we are. I absolutely want him back. Then he says, he knows that he also compromised things by what happened back in October. So part of him coming back next year has to be about rebuilding some of that trust and respect that he's earned here for a long period of time. Mixed messages from Steve Kerr. Like, I mean, you know, he's talking about how much he wants him back and how valuable he is, but how he has to, you know, earn people's trust after what happened. I don't know. I mean, it's a player option, not a team option. Draymond Green might just say, you know, the heck with Steve Kerr, I'm going to be an unrestricted free agent right now.
Yeah, I think it would actually benefit Draymond Green regardless to opt out of that deal and to sign a long-term deal because, you know, at that age, it's tough. Like, you want that kind of security. You want at least a three, four-year guarantee. And Draymond Green's not worth probably more than $25 million a year from a team. But still, if he makes that kind of money or if a team is willing to overpay to pry him away from Golden State, I could see that happening. I really really can. And those comments from Steve Kerr does not seem like he's on the same page with the front office about what's going on in the future. And I think it's a tough decision by the front office for Golden State on what's ahead for them.
Well, here's my question. If Draymond's gone, how do you replace a guy like that that had so many roles for your team? But there's nobody that brings you the toughness and grit and intimidation factor that Draymond brings.
No, and it's not going to be Steve Kerr. He's not going to be the one who's bringing that kind of energy to the team. It has to be some of the younger players. It's not going to be Jonathan Kuminga, but maybe Jordan Poole can 180 from what we see right now. Or maybe they trade Jordan Poole and they decide to go long-term with Draymond Green or run it back at least for two more years or so. I don't know. I think that this is so difficult. Yep. The decision ahead for Golden State is so tough to find out. I'm so curious as to what happens for them.
I am too. And meanwhile, the Lakers, the team that beat them, gets Denver now, and what a series that's going to be. A lot of fun. Can't wait to see if the Lakers can take a game or two, and maybe just a game. How about this? Let's just start with saying, can they split in Denver, Adrian, and at least get off to a big start?
It's going to be an uphill battle. Denver has not lost at home in the playoffs thus far. They've been great at Ball Arena in Denver. So tonight, it's an uphill battle for the Lakers. They are, I think it was 6-point underdogs going into this game. So let's see if they can do what hasn't been done in the playoffs thus far and beat Denver on their own home court.
When we come back, we're going to hear from America's baseball head coach, Jesse Munoz, and talk about what they have coming up. First, a big win over South Lake Carroll, what it means for them, and Byron Nelson right around the corner. So we'll talk a little high school baseball. Sports Talk continues. Hour two, right here, 600 ESPN El Paso.
Can you hear me okay? I don't sound like an echo.
Of hour number two here on Sports Talk. Welcome back, everybody. Steve Kaplowitz along with Adrian Broaddus. One of the big stories right now in the sports world here locally, America's High and what they have been doing on the diamond. A monster victory over the weekend as their state title dreams are still alive. And here to talk about it with us right now is America's head coach, Jesse Munoz. Coach, good to have you back on the show. And boy, oh boy, what a fun last couple of weeks it's been for you and this team.
It has been. Thanks for having me, Steve. But yeah, the boys have been playing great, and we're enjoying the ride.
Well, I'm sure you enjoyed this past weekend. You knocked off the defending 6A state champs, South Lake Carroll. Larry Vukan, who is about to get into the El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame. Tell me a little bit about what that was like, because, again, winning is one thing, but knocking off the defending state champs the following playoffs is a big deal.
Yeah, we thought so. You know, we told the boys to enjoy it, but ultimately the goal is to win the state championship, but to knock off the defending state champion meant a lot for us and meant a lot to the boys, and Larry and I are good friends and we go way back, and people don't realize this. We beat them 3 out of 4 times this year. We played them earlier in the tournament and beat them earlier in the year.
Meanwhile, it's your first regional quarterfinal trip to the state baseball playoffs in 11 years. Let's talk a little bit about that and just where this team, is at this point.
Well, part of that is that we finally have arms that can match up with the teams that we're playing against. So we play the Metroplex schools, and they got arms, and they every guy they throw out there seems like mid to upper 80s. They got 90 guys and stuff. So this year, we have some arms to match up with them, and honestly, that's keeping us in games. When we're not playing, we're not swinging the bat that well, those power arms keep us in games. You need swing and miss stuff in the playoffs.
Coach, 35 years ago when I was playing high school baseball, it was a big deal if somebody threw in the 80s. Nowadays, that's the norm, and like you said, you even have guys that touch in the 90s right now.
Yeah. Like I said, and we have, we have three kids signed to pitch in college, and one of them is going to Baylor. So Steven Sepulveda, and we got two other kids, Santana Hernandez and Adrian Quintana. They're going to pitch at the junior college level. So, I mean, that's huge. That's something we haven't had, and people don't realize this. As many good players that have come through America's, Steven is our first Division I pitcher we've had. So we've had good pitchers, don't get me wrong, but when you have swing and miss stuff and you got power arms, That makes a big difference.
Jesse Munoz with us right now. We're talking about America's High and their run in the state tournament. Did you know heading into this season that you had a chance to have a pretty special year with this team?
Well, I had a pretty good idea when they were eighth graders. So I went to go see them play in middle school. You know, Drugan and Clark, they played each other in the middle school championship. So I went to go see them play, and I thought, man, this is a pretty good this pretty good bunch. They're going to be pretty good by the time they're seniors, and they haven't disappointed. They've been pretty good.
The fact that you could spot this in eighth grade and kind of know what could be coming, that's first off, that's rare. But that's phenomenal when you really start to think about it, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, you have, you know, all these kids and, you know, playing together and you know, I go see them play and you see things that, you know, you don't have to teach them how to catch and throw because they already know how to do that. Their baseball IQ was high even back then. So as a coach, I mean, that makes our job a lot easier and we were excited, you know, when that freshman class came in and we realized, hey, this group has a chance to be pretty good, and they haven't disappointed.
Meanwhile, you look at what happened over the weekend after you beat South Lake Carroll. Pebble Hills lost to Keller. Hanks lost in three to Lubbock Monterey. Horizon had a one-game playoff to Lubbock Cooper. They lost. Del Valle swept by Abilene Wiley. Lisleta falling to Abilene High. And then in 4A, Riverside losing in three to Canyon High. Clint being swept by Midland Greenwood. Cianelli swept by Hereford. And Bowie swept by Canyon Randall. You're it. You are the last team standing.
Are we the last
right
one
now.
Standing?
Yes. Last one standing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, well, you know, we, like I said, our goal is to play in Round Rock for the state title. And, you know, and everything is a credit to the boys and how they played this weekend. And honestly, and this is going to sound like coach talk, but we didn't play our best baseball, but we just found a way to win. And the boys competed when we needed a pitch to be made, they made it. And when we needed a hit, we got it. And we came out on the winning side.
Now, wait a minute. If you haven't played your best baseball, maybe that'll be coming up this weekend when you take on Byron Nelson.
Hopefully.
But tell me, have you, as a coach, and be honest, do you feel like at all during this season, which has been a terrific year, have you ever had a stretch where you feel like you have played your best baseball, or are we still waiting for that right now?
Well, you know, as a coach, you demand and expect a certain standard of play. So I guess I could count them on one hand where we've pitched, where we've defended, and that we've hit. You know, all three aspects of our game have been, you know, we've done all three in one game. And you know, the kids, you know, they roll their eyes when I tell them, hey, we didn't do this well, we didn't do that well, and they're looking at me like, coach, we won by 10. Yeah. And then, you know, they don't understand that, you know, when you play quality teams, if you don't do those little things and you know, play good baseball, then it's going to come back to bite you. And so, like I said, the games that we've done all three aspects well, I could count them on one hand.
Let's put it this way, though. You're 30-7 overall, 14-2 in district. And really, other than a loss to El Dorado on the road back in late April, even your losses were close. I mean, you've had one really bad game. So, you know, that's got to make you feel pretty good. And tell me a little bit about your opponents coming up this week in Byron Nelson.
Byron Nelson, you know, they're scrappy. They're gritty. You know, any team that that is still standing in the round of 32 obviously can play. So just looking at the scouting reports that we have, and they're scrappy, they're gritty, they get after it. So you know, if we don't play our best baseball like we just talked about, we're gonna have our work cut out for us. But you know, we have to play our best game, and if we do that, we should be okay.
Jesse, you mentioned some of your pitchers and just how good they are. How about some of the other players that have really been big catalysts for you all season long?
So, you know, I mentioned the three arms, but, you know, we have, you know, Gael Bernal, who I think is the best shortstop in the city right now. defensively, he's been fantastic, like we expected him to be. At the plate, he's done well. Their base, we have the District 1-6A MVP in Easton Mumau. We have Samuel Gonzalez at first base. So, you know, we got guys contributing from all over the place. So, you know, we got some depth. Obviously, we got it on the mound, but you know, we got guys that we can mix and match, and it gives us flexibility.
Makes my job way easier, for sure. I'm a big fan of Easton Mumau, and I'm going to tell you why. His parents played co-ed softball on our Media League team back in the 90s,
really?
Coach. We were racking up titles with the Mumaus. So
Scott
and Christina, yes, yep. They were very, they both could play. And I had a feeling that when they eventually decided to have kids, naming, of course, so appropriate, Easton, after the bat company.
Yeah,
I had a feeling that, it would be in the bloodlines and that would be a pretty good ball player. So that's good news.
Well, I got one for you, too. I used to coach Scott Mumau when I coached at El Paso Community College a long time ago. So he played for me. That's how old I am, Steve. He played for me, when I coached at EPCC, and now his son's at America's playing for us.
Love that.
So there's a lot of good baseball in that blood.
Is he the first?
I didn't know his mom was pretty good.
Oh, she could play. She could hit the baseball, and she could
really field.
She played first base for us. Tough, hard-nosed ball player.
I'm going to tell Scott that's where Easton got his skills from mom, not from dad.
Yeah, make sure he doesn't forget that. That would be good. Is by the way, is that the first second-generation athlete that you've had a chance to coach?
I'm trying to think of guys that I've coached. Yeah, off the top of my head, yes. I've coached maybe like friends. Trying to think off the top of my head. I can't remember, but definitely Scott. Former player, then now I'm coaching his son.
Fantastic. Last question, and I'll let you run, Coach, because I know you got practice coming up.
Not a problem.
Talk a little bit about just the quality of baseball in this city. I mean, you're having this great run, but we always seem to get terrific talent that has a chance to play college and go farther from there. Just give me the overall state of El Paso baseball right now as you see it.
I think El Paso baseball is a gold mine. There's a lot of players here that are overlooked just simply because of our proximity to the major cities, Dallas, Phoenix. You know, coaches don't come here. Scouts don't come here unless they have to, unless they know there's a kid here they need to see. So what helps is I've been coaching long enough that, you know, I can pick up the phone and say, hey, I got a guy, and they'll come and see him play. So we have the opportunity to open doors for our kids, and you know, a lot has to do just because as a coach, you know, you've been around long enough, you build your network, and then it opens doors for our guys. But definitely, the quality of baseball has gone up. There's players here.
Coach, I love it. Listen, great having you on the program. Really appreciate it. Congratulations. I know you got a lot more to do. Work's not near done yet. But, enjoyed it, and look forward to the next time we get to chat with you right back here on the show.
Sounds good. Steve, thanks for having me.
You got it. He's America's head coach, Jesse Munoz, joins us here on Sports Talk as we continue. All right, more coming up. We got Chihuahua's top of the hour. Tim Haggerty will join us from Round Rock as we continue 600 ESPN El Paso. 505-6009. Get you right on in and through to the show. 505-6009 here on Sports Talk. Again, love to get your thoughts on the Lakers and the Nugs coming up at 6:30 tonight. That one's on ESPN. It's going to be a fun series. Just a fun series for us to get a chance to watch. And I'm hoping Adrian's right. Maybe it's possible. Maybe we will see the Lakers strike first tonight, and they will take that one game to none lead. Could happen.
I should be more pessimistic toward this because last series I was very doubtful for the Lakers. I mean, look, I watched this Lakers team all year, and I've watched how bad they were early on with Russell Westbrook. They made that trade. I'm not saying it was Russ's problem. I didn't think the fit was good. Mm-hmm. When Russ left to the Clippers, he had a lot of success over there, but in the same light, the Lakers found a lot of success with the role players they were able to get.
How about this? The NBA playoffs are averaging 5.2 million viewers across ESPN. The network's most watched NBA postseason ever.
It's great basketball. I feel like any basketball fan should be watching these games in a big way, regardless of your stance of where the league's at or how frustrated you are with the perimeter shooting game or whatever it might be. This is great basketball right now that we're watching.
Yeah, it is. And truthfully, these two series have a chance to be terrific ball. Again, stars across the all four teams, and lots of good star power on this one.
Lots of history, too.
Very true. Eddie is going to join us next on the program. What's going on, Eddie?
Oh, you guys got me all amped up with this NBA talk, and I had to call and let Adrian know that if the Lakers can pull it off and win another championship with LeBron at the helm, I'm going to put him in my top 10 all time, even into my top 5, because I didn't think they were going to be able to beat the Warriors, and they did.
Now, again, top five. Let me hear what your top five would be. Give us your top five.
Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Kobe Bryant. Who's my number three is Shaquille O'Neal. That's right. I have Shaquille O'Neal in there because I'm a Laker fanatic. I have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in there. Another center. I'm big on centers. And then my other guy. Oh my God! I just lost it. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do multiple things at one time.
So wait, so you got Michael. You said you got Michael, Kobe, Shaq, Kareem.
Yep.
And you got one more. Is it Bird?
Oh, Larry Bird. Thank you. Yes, Bird. Larry Bird. Easy.
By the way, you know what?
I'm like you, Steve. I'm like the old. I like the old schooler.
I agree, but you know what's hard? Like, okay, I never got to see Wilt Chamberlain play. I never got to see Bill Russell play. Right? It's almost impossible to put them on a list if you haven't seen them play. Don't you think that we should probably change these lists and make it just people we've watched and seen? Because how do you compare somebody who you've never seen but heard so much about versus people you've watched since you started watching sports as a kid? So, like,
I can agree with that.
So, like, I grew up in the Dr. J, Bird, Jordan, Magic era when you had Kareem. I saw Kareem play quite a bit, saw Moses Malone and all those guys. But, a lot of the times I want to bring up Russell. I want to bring up, Chamberlain. I want to bring up, Elgin Baylor and some of the greats that played the game also. And it's difficult to do that when you didn't watch those guys, and it's almost impossible to put the context in with a newer game and the way the guys are playing, like Oscar Robertson. I mean, Oscar Robertson was the human triple-double, but you never saw Oscar Robertson play. So to us, it's difficult. Until we have figured out a way to time travel and take these greats and just kidnap them for a few weeks and put them into today's game, how will we ever know?
Yep, and one other point I wanted to bring up, I really enjoy listening to you and Adrian's varying opinions about how, for example, Adrian just said how LeBron will look ahead and try to save his energy, I guess, for future games. And then I remember you saying, might have been yesterday, where you think that's kind of like, I don't know, that's kind of like a farce, I guess, for people, for players to do that. Why not just give it their all every game?
Yeah, I've never understood. Now, the only time I would say that energy needs to be saved is, like, take, for example, Game 5 for the Lakers and Golden State. Everybody in the world knew the Lakers were not closing that series out. So instead of going crazy, take the loss, which they did, get ready for Game 6 to close them out, which they did, and it worked out that way. So, like, this time around, Eddie, I'm still thinking, if the Lakers split in Denver, they're lucky. Whether they win Game 1 or Game 2, that's a win for them. And if they can win Games 3 and 4 and have a 3-1 lead, they're going to lose Game 5 in Denver. And then they can come back and finish off Denver exactly the way they did Golden State.
Love it. Well, I'm back in the NBA. because I've been enjoying it. So
good stuff. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you, Eddie. Thanks for the call. All right, we'll see. Now, if the Lakers want to do it differently and they want to win Game 7 in Denver, all that does is add to the legend of LeBron, right, which is already historic in terms of what he's been able to do throughout his career.
Yeah, and I think Game 5, you know, easing up on the brakes a little bit, easing up on the gas, I should say. And then the Game 6, he took over. It was the vintage LeBron game, throwback game to when we saw him dominate in Cleveland, when we saw him dominate in Miami, scores 30 points and flirts with a triple-double in that game-clinching win against the Warriors in that Game 6.
And by the way, you know what's weird? And I've said this before. Even though, to me, Michael is still the best player I've ever seen, what LeBron is doing at his age, after 20 years in the NBA, no one's done that before. Nobody. Nobody has ever played at this level for as many years and has never seemed to watch their game go down. That, to me, is what makes LeBron so special, is being able to play at this level his entire career, and he has still never really seen his game drop off. That, at 38 years old, since he came into the league at 18, that is nothing short of phenomenal.
Yet longevity and durability should definitely be applauded from LeBron James, which I feel like him doing it at this level is just pretty amazing.
Let's take Michael, then we'll take the break and come back with Hags here on Sports Talk. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Steve. How's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call.
I had an interesting take for you. I'm going to say something that everybody's been saying, that it's going to be either Lakers in 6 or Nuggets in 7 for the same reason everybody's been saying it, right? But I have a different angle on it.
Okay.
And I'm a numbers guy. I like patterns. You look at the patterns. The Lakers have won their series 4-2. So if they want to win again, they got to win 4-2. The Nuggets are more interesting. They've won 4-1, 4-2. If they want to win a third time, they've got to win 4-3.
I like that. You've uncovered patterns. That is good. By the way, if that happens and they win 4-3, what happens in the NBA Finals? Because now you've got 4-1, 4-2, 4-3. You can't have 4-4. So then I guess it's got to be 4-0, right? And they got to sweep whoever they're going to win the whole thing.
I guess it comes the whole way back around. That's right.
That's good stuff. I like that. I'll go with patterns. That's good stuff, Michael. Are you enjoying the NBA playoffs right now?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think they've been exciting. And as a Lakers fan, to be honest, it's been a good relief. Nice to have them back in the picture.
There you go. Good for you. Enjoy the ride, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you getting in, Michael.
Thanks so much.
You got it. Come back with Hags. Stay with us. 19 in front of 6. Chihuahuas baseball right around the corner. 600 ESPN El Paso.